when God said, I would ye all spake in tongues. Oh, how simple this thing is. By sheer logic, look at it. Just by sheer logic. We'll believe that sign on the back, right? Says temperature and time. But God's word that has stood a lot longer than that bank, we've got a problem with it. Class, I'm saying to you, if there was no Bible to tell me there was a devil, I'd believe in one. Because all I'd have to do is look at my life and yours and I'd know there'd have to be one. Because something has to be in this world that has really blinded people's eyes, right? Has to really have blinded our eyes that we believe a banker more than we believe God Almighty. That we would believe some man who's a liar, and the Bible says every man is. We'd believe a man more than we would believe the divine revelation of God, where holy men of God spake, but they spoke what God wanted spoken by revelation. God told them what to write, what to speak, and they used their vocabulary. Really something, isn't it? You see, when you're born into an earthly family, daddy and mommy can talk to you, right? When you're born in an earthly family, you have a daddy. Okay, that's axiomatic. Right, you may never see him around much, but you got one. Or you had one. Your earthly father can talk to you. I can talk to our children. I could call up John Paul tonight and say, J.P., this is Daddy. He'd say, well, hi, Dad. And then we could talk together. But somehow or other, I was taught, maybe you were too, that you could never have that kind of a connection between God and yourself. Now, just by sheer logic, again, think for a moment. My earthly father was a sinner, a liar. You know, the Bible says so. He was not perfect, a wonderful man, but not perfect physically all the time and mentally. Yet he was my father, right? Yet he can communicate with me. He could talk to me. That's right. Even when I'm 35, he could still talk. 40. All through my life, my father can do what? Talk to me. Now, if there is a God, if there is a God, and if I can be born again of his spirit, then he becomes my spiritual one. Do you think that he is less than my earthly father? That's something. What we've been talked out of is almost unbelievable. To think that God, the creator of heaven and earth, could not do as good as my earthly father. My earthly father could talk to me. Anytime he wanted to talk to me, he could talk to me. But my heavenly father, who created the heavens and the earth, you never hear from him. Isn't that really treacherous and dangerous and devilish? Boy, you see, I'd have to believe in the fullness of the Spirit just by sheer logic if I didn't have a word to tell me that when I am born again of God's Spirit, it's God in Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that then I have the spiritual connection with my Father, like in the census realm, I have my earthly connection with my Father. If my earthly Father can talk to me, if he can walk with me, then my heavenly Father can walk with me and talk with me too. Right. What a wonderful truth. The reason our heavenly Father can't talk to us basically has been because we've never been taught. We've never been told he could. And therefore we've never been taught how these spiritual principles operate. And therefore, since we haven't been taught, naturally, Father can't talk to us. For God is Spirit. And in order to talk to me, I have to have what? spirit. That's why 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually what? But my earthly father is a natural man. Now, natural man and I can talk together. Now, let's suppose I do have Christ in me, the hope of glory, and God is my father spiritually. Then he can do what? Talk to me. You bet your life. That's what the manifestations are all about. A little bit about. You see, God's word is impregnated with the very life of God. This word of God is exactly what God is. It's the life of God. That's how you get to it from the word, because the natural man has to hear that word. When he hears that word, when he believes it, then God goes to work doing the trip on him, where he gets born again of God's Spirit, filled with the Christ in him, the hope of glory. And the presence of God is there. And then God, when you know how to spiritually hear, when you know how to spiritually smell, taste, touch, etc., those things, then he can walk with you and he can talk with you. He can tell you that you're his own. I think that's in the thing along the way, him. I come to the garden alone, I think. It's beautiful, isn't it? Now, in John chapter 3, a tremendous truth that is so common to us that we usually just flip it off of our mind, out of our mouth, and very seldom pay any attention to the in-depth greatness of that Word of God, which is impregnated with the very life of God. For God so loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. The reason it's everlasting for you is because it had a start. From God's point of view, it's eternal life. From your point of view, it's everlasting. Let's say I'm 20 years old when I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I've had 19 years without him. Therefore, it cannot be in me or to me eternal life because I didn't have it from the beginning. But from the time I accept him all the way through, it will be ever what? But from God's point of view, what he gives is eternal. That's its difference of its usage every place in the Word. Whenever you read everlasting, it means what I just shared with you. And when it's eternal, it's from God's point of view. One's man's point of view or man's experience. The other is God's greatness of it. You see, for God so loved. God did it. Not that man did it. God did it. God so loved that God gave. Not that man gave. Any works of man as far as salvation and the validity of salvation, a lot of baloney. That's right. God so loved that God did what? Gave. And he gave his only begotten Son. Now it seems to me, if I, Victor Paul Weirwill, know my own sons, like Donald Ernst and John Paul, I got to be smarter than God if God can't keep track of one. That's almost blasphemy or something. Almost that a man would even think that is really deleterious. God said that he gave his only what? He had only one son. He ought to be able to keep track of knowing he had one. Some beautiful lady wrote me this week, she had 15 children. I thought, well, praise God, wonderful. Second thought was, what a woman. Now,